I don't know what the official count is yet, but this is a good Sunday, very well attended. A lot of you are back from various trips and illnesses and things, and so it's so good to see all of you. Also, those of you who are joining us on Facebook, as you normally do, our virtual Hope Church members, we love you so much and thank you for joining, as well as those who may be, and it'll be a small number to begin with, but it will grow, those who are also joining us on our YouTube channel. We unveiled that today, and it seems to be working well, and Mike Orton is right. He said, whatever you pay in Mary and Nathaniel ain't enough. They have just done so much over the... And we can give them a round of applause. That's fine. They are just both working tirelessly throughout the week to just continue to upgrade and now we have the YouTube channel that we need to continue to promote. We've got our new website that's very soon to be up and running. We've got the new app. It's as busy of a time and as busy of a season at this church as I can remember in its existence. And so it's a good time to be here. And we hope that you can say that is true for you as well. I generally always agree with Patrick Meade on everything that he says. And you guys have heard me speak of him many times. He has been here and spoken a few times. I was able to go to our safe harbor and speak a few weeks ago. We've become buddies. As I've told you before, he is so instrumental in my... I think Brian would say the same thing about himself, about our... transition and our theological flow. He's amazing. And I don't know that I've ever really disagreed with him, but I did this past week because he posted and said that he was riding around in his car and there was some, I don't know if it was the Four Tops or the whatever Seasons or somebody, and this some 60s music, and he said that it was the greatest music ever and he could just listen it on repeat, and I completely disagreed with him and you too, because I don't think... I'm sorry, I just don't, and that's okay. You can still like 60s music and go to heaven, we hope. but what this much I do know and believe is that if you love 80s music and movies and genre, you're going to go to heaven. It's just a guarantee. And so it got me to thinking about some really neat moments in the 80s. And so if you are from that era, and many of you are, you might remember some of these movies. Who could forget Elliot and E.T.? Yeah, there you are. Somebody knew. And E.T. and him hiding him, and E.T. phone home and all that stuff. So E.T. was a good one. And I know you have your own. These are just some of the ones that I remembered or liked or whatever. The Outsiders was always one that I liked. Did anybody watch The Outsiders? Pony Boy and the whole bunch. I mean, those are young actors that all went on. I mean, I think every one of them, I couldn't name them all, but all of them went on to do many. What's that? Nothing Gold Can Stay. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So The Outsiders, I thought that was a really good movie. You know, Back to the Future, of course, with Michael J. Fox, and that was, I guess, one of the things that really kind of propelled him into a star. Lost Boys, maybe a little on the edge there, but I always thought that was kind of a neat movie about vampires, if you were into that kind of thing. Kiefer Sutherland and the two Coreys, if you remember in the 80s, the two Coreys. I've got to say, this is probably the number one movie of all time, in my opinion. It's okay for you to disagree. Soundtrack, for sure, probably. Tom Cruise has nothing to do with it for me. Maybe it does for you females. But at any rate, Angie always wanted to go back to the volleyball scene, and I never understood why. So I thought it was because of the music. But it's apparently it's these ab things and no shirts and whatever. So she enjoyed that. But here's one that I'm sure that most folks know, and that is the movie The Karate Kid. And some of these movies just transcend time, and there's not a time throughout the week that you might not turn on TNT or TBS or USA or AMC, one of these networks, and you'll see these movies. And they're really fun. I mean, for me, and maybe for some of the rest of you, and whatever your genre was, when you see these movies or you hear the music, it really resonates with you, and it helps you to be happy because it just takes you back to maybe a simpler time. For the movie Karate Kid, a lot of things sort of came out of that movie. Well, you know, wax on, wax off. You remember that? And some other lines. But there was also a spot in the movie. I guess it was early on. I should have maybe gone back and watched, but didn't. Where what's his name? I know Mr. Miyagi. What is Ralph Macchio? Daniel-san, that's right. Daniel. Okay. He was visiting Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi, as you know, for whatever reason, he had a bonsai tree. And some of you may have had these before or kind of toyed around with them just a little bit. And so as Daniel showed up at Mr. Miyagi's house, and he sort of looks like he's kind of pruning this bonsai tree, Daniel begins to ask Mr. Miyagi about this tree and why is it that he's pruning it. It's already super small, right? It's already a tiny tree, as it were. But Mr. Miyagi is trimming it. He's pruning it. And Daniel doesn't quite understand that. Why is it that you're doing that? Mr. Miyagi says that he has a picture in his mind of what that tree should look like. Mr. Miyagi tells Daniel, he said, in my mind, I have a picture of what I want this to look like. And in order for this to look like what's in my mind, I've got to prune it. Bonsai trees actually are art. Now, unlike a piece of art that you may purchase or a painting of some kind that may hang on the wall that's already done, you wouldn't dare try to touch it up. You wouldn't dare try to change anything because you maybe spent a lot of money on that piece of art. Bonsai trees are the same, and yet in order for them to be the art that you want them to be, it's a real interactive hobby in many ways. And there was actually a bonsai tree that sold for over $1.3 million somewhere. So it was very important to Mr. Miyagi, and as you watch the movie, you would sort of see the symbolism of that and the theme of that movie. He says, in my mind, I see what it should look like. I have a picture of it. I have an understanding of its future possibilities. And here's what I want you to understand today. As we continue this theme of John 14, 15, and 16, the final words of Jesus to his disciples, and we're going to read it here in just a moment, but what we need to understand is that in our own life, well, let me just go back. Let me go back and read this, and then I'll get into this point. Here's what Jesus says in John 15, and the verse number is 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man or human remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from it, you can do nothing. And then in 15 verse 1, just go back a little bit, he says, I am that vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And what you need to understand today is that every pruning has a purpose. And it may not make any sense. And if you know very little about gardening, as do I, you might look at a gardener or someone working in a vineyard seemingly trimming things back or cutting it off. You know, why would you do that? It looks like it's very viable. It's very much alive. Why would you? Well, there's reasons for that, and we'll get into that. There is no doubt in my mind that in the year 2020 and since, for whatever reason, there was some major pruning that went on, and a lot of it seemingly wasn't very fun, wasn't very needed, had no purpose whatsoever. There were jobs that were pruned, gone, cut away. There was certainly people's health and lives that were pruned and gone. Weddings. I did a wedding a week or two ago, and they had actually asked me to do that wedding like a year and a half before. But then, of course, COVID happened, and the world fell apart, as did their wedding plan. So they had to put it off for several months. Pruning has a purpose. And in order for the purpose of pruning to be what it needs to be, the pruner has to have a picture in their mind of what that is supposed to look like. Jesus tells us in John 15 that He's the vine, that His Father is the gardener, that He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while the branches that do bear fruit, He says, I cut back so that it will bear even more. He said, you're already clean because of the world. Remain in Me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. As long as the branch is connected to the vine, it can produce and it can have purpose. That makes sense, right? As long as the branch, and we can think of it as a vineyard of grapes, as long as the branch is connected to the vine, it can and has the ability to produce, and it has purpose. But once that vine is severed, once that vine is cut, once that vine is separated from the branch, it can do no more good. If allowed to long enough, it'll just lay there, it'll dry up, and it will wither away. Part of our connection, if you were thinking in vine terms, part of our connection to the Lord is producing. That's one reason why a gardener would want the vine to stay connected to the branch, because that's how production is made. It's very important. So listen with me here, think with me. But as in theological concepts, many of us were raised to believe that producing was the most important part of our relationship to Jesus. That if you didn't produce, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, if you didn't check all the boxes, then your connection was no good. But we've got it backwards. The connection, as much as production is important, connection is far more important. Now, if you're connected, then you hopefully will produce. An important part of the way that I believed growing up, not because I was necessarily taught that by my mom and daddy, but it's what we heard, teachers and pastors, was that if you're not producing, then you're lost. If you're not doing all the right things, and if you're not doing those things perfectly, then there's a very good chance that when you die, you're going to go to hell. And we would quote verses like the verse in James where it says that faith without works is dead. And seemingly James and Paul would contradict one another. Paul would talk a great deal about grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, something that I really love and enjoy right now and believe in. Didn't so much 30 years ago, because that's not what I ingested. All I ingested was you got to work. It was like being a modern day Jew. They might as well have said you have over 600 laws here that you've got to keep. That's just how we marched about. And you can be connected to the Lord all that you want to, but if you're not producing, then it's no good relationship. It's of no value whatsoever. Now, we touched on this maybe even last week, and I'll have to reiterate this and say this again. There are many who believe that once you come in contact with the Lord, once you're baptized, once you're saved, that there's nothing that you could ever do to lose your salvation, and you could never go to hell. I do not believe that, nor do I believe that the Bible speaks that. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 20. If you have your Bibles, you need to turn here and read this. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 20. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord Jesus and Savior knowing our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and are again, let's look here. So if you'd escaped the corruption, but then you are again entangled in it and you are overcome, you are worse off at the end than you were at the beginning. That sounds pretty heavy. It would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known the way of righteousness and turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Then some pleasantries. Like the Proverbs say, and they're true, a dog returns to its vomit. A sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. And so, do I believe that it is possible? I do. Now, I can't explain all that. You might say, yeah, but once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, you are if you were sincerely saved. It's based on semantics. It's a wordplay oftentimes. I believe if you are doing the very best that you possibly can do, you stay as near to the Lord as you possibly can, you try to be kind to people, you try to love folks, you try to not sin, God's got you. Grace is going to cover you. You're going to go to heaven. But if you purposely say, I'm done, and give God the middle finger and say, I'm never coming back to you, I'm never going to believe you, then that's a dangerous spot to be in. It just is. So is it possible to be lost? I do. We can discuss this later if you disagree, and that's okay. 11 times in 11 verses, Jesus says that if you stay connected, you will bear fruit. Now, this is going to take a little following. Now, I want you to listen and pay attention, because I had to listen to pay attention when it was taught to me. John 15, beginning with verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Listen, verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can be even more faithful. Okay. This was a verse that would have terrified me when I was younger growing up, because essentially it says, hey, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, he's going to cut you off. You know, you maybe have heard folks, you know, if someone is in prison, some type of prisoner of war, a punishment for that prisoner of war might be that their captor says, we're going to cut your food off. We're cutting you off. We're going to let you just starve to death. You might, you know, as a parent, you might have some agreement with your child or teenager and says, if you do certain things, you know, you do these chores, whatever, then I'm going to give you a little bit of money. And they go and they don't do the chores and they don't do what they're asked to do. You say, I'm cutting you off. You're on your own. You can make your own money. And so that's sort of how it seemed to me. And when you read the NIV, and that's key as well, the NIV is rendered here, we're going to cut you off. The Greek word here for this thought of cutting off is iro. I should have put it up there. I-R-O. Iro. In the Greek, iro means to cut off or pick up. Okay? And if you dive into Scripture, you'll find a lot of this stuff. And it can very easily change what you think or used to think about a particular passage. So iro in the original Greek means either to cut off or to pick up. All right, you start thinking with me here. So in the NIV, the translators chose to use cut off here. You can go to John chapter 5, verse number 8. John 5, 8. Then Jesus said to the man who needed to be healed, said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Do you know what pick up there, the original Greek word is? It's iro, I-R-O. John 8, 59. Another very familiar passage. John 8, 59. Is there even... Yeah. So Jesus is, you know, he's talking about himself and he's making people mad. John 8, verse 59. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself. Picked up stones, original Greek word for picked up, iro, I-R-O. And so the translation can have a huge change, and there can be a huge impact on this translation if rather than we read John 15, verse number 2, instead of he cuts off every branch, what if it actually means he picked up? In the original, you go to some other translations and it renders it that in many instances. You see, I grew up with a God who cut off. I grew up with a cut off God. You make a mistake, cut off. Say a bad word, cut off. Have a bad thought, cut off. Do something you're not supposed to do, cut off. But now as you read the rest of this context in chapter 15, he's talking about connection to the branch. He's talking about production. It makes far more sense. And I'm not going to argue with you over this, and you ain't got to throw no rocks at me, but it would make more sense as I have thought about it and studied and was sort of led in this direction, that instead of this meaning cut off, it means that he might pick you up. Let me give you an example, a real life example. Okay. So, a lot of you, some of you, enjoy going to the Grinder Switch Winery. And we're not going to throw rocks at you either. You know, the Bible says a little wine's good for your heart, good for your stomach. Too much is too much, and you've got to know when that is. All right. So, my buddy Mick, and I spend a lot of time with Mick, for better or for worse, and at any rate, oftentimes he'll come in the restaurant, he'll be dirty or whatever, and I'll say, well, you rolled around in some dirt because I know you hadn't been doing anything. I know it can't be much work out there. You're just planting grapes and watching them grow. It can't be much work. And he says, oh, but I beg to differ. And he'll say that in not so many different kinds of words. And he will go on to tell me about how much work is involved in this vineyard. And I obviously know that there's a lot of work. There's a ton of hours invested in those vines and invested in those branches. I know that it really is. He and his family spent a lot of time out there. And he'll tell me about how that in the early spring when they're concerned about frost, that he'll have to stay up all night long and they have all these different things that they can do to try to make sure that these baby grapes are going to survive, because if they don't, then that's a big knock on their business for the year. Now, they could get it other places, but they want to produce their own. That's what a good vineyard does, and they do. And they do it very, very well. And so as you think about a gardener in a vineyard and how precious these, what seems to be just little old small twigs or small branches to me, I'm like, what's it matter? Cut it off, who cares? He'll tell you, wait a minute, every one of those things matter. Every one. And they spent a lot of time and are very diligent caring for those vines and caring for those precious branches. Every one of them are dollars and cents. And so they don't just haphazardly cut those things away and throw them into the pile. They just don't. So a significant part of a gardener's job in the vineyard is to see the branches. And they may occasionally see some branches that have fallen in the dirt, fallen into the soil. And we'll say that Mick or whoever might be walking down the rows of vines and inspecting them, and they see some branches that are hanging low and they're in the dirt. They seem dirty. They seem unproductive. But they're still attached to the vine. A good gardener who has put a whole lot of work into this is going to very carefully. He's not just going to take his pocket knife off and cut the branch off the vine and throw it in a pile. No, no, no. Too much work has gone into this one little branch. So with care, they're going to take this branch, they're going to pull it out of the dirt or out of the soil and maybe clean it off just a little bit and inspect it and make sure that it's still attached to the vine. If it's still attached to the vine, it still has use, it still has purpose, it still has the ability to produce. And all that translates into being able to make wine, and that translates into being able to sell wine, and that translates into being able to have money, and that translates into being able to pay your bills and your employees. You see, it's a domino effect. So that little branch matters. And so back in the first and second century, and long before now, before trellis systems were created, what would a good gardener do with this branch that he does not want to sever? This branch that he does not want to what? Cut off. Instead, he picks up the branch, sort of cleans it off, and then he'll take that branch and he will slowly weave it through what? Through other branches. Starting to see where this is going? So this branch that is still connected to the vine, the branch had some problems. Branch had a season of, you know, being prodigal. The branch, you know, had some addictions that came about. The branch had some relationship problems. The branch had some health problems. Are you starting to understand? But the branch was still tied to the vine. It's still very healthy. The branch just had some problems. And so the gardener picks up the branch, cleans it off just a little bit, and begins to infiltrate the other branches with this branch and weaves it through, maybe kind of lays them over on a rock so that it can become healthy again. Because it's still alive. It's still attached to the vine. And so if you think about that in those terms, John 15, chapter 2, instead of Iro there being cut off, I do believe that it probably means pick up. Because, see, I grew up with a cutoff God, but now I believe in a pickup God. A God who says, look, you did some dumb stuff, and nobody's going to deny that. You made some mistakes. You done some things that probably brought you pain, probably brought your family pain. You done some things that you're ashamed of. You done some things that you knew better. You done blah, 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 blah. But you know, I'm not going to cut you off. That was the God I grew up with. But that's not the God of the Bible. It's a God who picks us up. It's a God who loves us. It's a God who cares for us. Just being in the dirt doesn't mean that you're forever unproductive. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those branches that are attached to the vine. That's you. That's those of you who are watching. For those branches that are attached to the vine, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free, even though you may find yourself in the dirt from time to time. The law of Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and the law of death. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Listen to what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors. In and of ourselves? No. Just alone? No. Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, and you need to be convinced as well, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. Anything else encompasses everything else. In all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might find yourself in the dirt from time to time. And we all do. There's not a person sitting in any of these chairs this morning that has not found themselves in a situation that they knew better. They should have done better. We wished we would have. Now we're left with the consequences and the repercussions, and the collateral damage. We're left all. Every single person in this building has done that. And those of you, I dare say, who are watching, you have felt that way too. But what does the Apostle Paul says? He says, none of that. Fill in the blank, whatever that was for you. None of that can separate you from the love of the one who died for you. He loves you in spite of. He loves you regardless. He loves you unconditionally. And is this not the message that we should be preaching and teaching and living? This is what the world needs to hear. Instead of being judged continually for poor actions. And listen, poor actions happen, and we can't condone poor actions. We've got to say, well, you shouldn't have done that. I did a little thing this past week and a little video, and I can tell you, you may have saw it, may not have. So if you've seen it, just play on your phone for a minute. Angie and I were in Dixon, and so as we were getting off the exit, we were somewhere, and there was a fella who was wearing a backpack, and he was dressed about like I do through the week, just, you know, shorts and greasy and pitiful shoes, and he looked pitiful. But you could tell mentally he was not in a good place. You could tell that he was having some withdrawals, tweaking, whatever. And so I told Angie, I said, "Man, that's super sad." I said that was somebody's baby at one time. You know, I thought I was going to say something just earth shattering. She'd be like, "Wow!" And she said, "They still are their baby." And I thought, "Oh, as only a mother, if they're 60 years old, they're still somebody's baby." And she went on to preach to me that, and make no bones about it, the best preacher in my house is the one that sits in this chair, not the one who stands here. That, you know, we don't know what people have gone through. We don't know how they were raised. We don't know what all the dysfunction stuff they had to deal with as a child that they weren't equipped to deal with. And they pit up just all this stuff. We have no right to stand in judgment of these people. Or have they made some poor decisions? Sure. Could they have done better? Sure. But given the same background and the same situation, I might have done the same, and you may have done the same as well. And we might be the one with the backpack tweaking and Dixon. So just because you have found yourself in the dirt from time to time doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, doesn't care about you, and that you're not redeemable because you are. He says, "I'll pick you up out of the dirt." And there is nothing, fill in a blank for your life, whatever that is, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. You just can't. A gardener, once he picks up that branch and begins to intertwine it with those other branches, the gardener hopes is that branch, its strength is renewed, its productivity is renewed. We're just simply not meant to travel this life alone. We're just not. Again, what a wonderful season to be here at Hope Church. One of the things that I'm so super stoked and proud about is Melody's group and the grief group. That's just so many positive strides are being made in that group in a very quiet, silent, somewhat anonymous way. And we don't have to know about the situations that are discussed in that group just to know that God's doing some amazing things through that group. Why? Because they're not having to do it alone. I mean, telling us that this being able to work through grief through the holidays class that they're going to do, there are some folks who need that. Why? Because they turn around at Thanksgiving or turn around at Christmas and there's nobody there. And so that, as we might imagine, brings on a great amount of grief. Our new endeavor that we'll continue to speak of, Hope on the Square, we're excited about that. Plans are continually being made for that. It'll open super soon, and many of you, hopefully all of you, can be involved in it. I mean, it's a voluntary basis. We'd love to have all of you, and if you want to be a part of that, you can see myself or my mom or Don or somebody will figure that out. But at any rate, yes, it is about clothes, giving clothes away, selling clothes super cheap, whatever the case might be. But my vision, whatever that might be for Hope on the Square, has very, very little to do with clothes. It has very, very little to do with somebody needing a lamp or a dress. It has everything to do with how they are greeted when they walk into that establishment, how they are cared for, how they are ministered to. Do you need something besides what we got? This is kind of here. We'll help you with this. But what do you really need? Do you need somebody to talk to? Do you need some legal advice? Do you need some food? What do you need? This is really why we are here. Yeah, we'll give you clothes and whatever. But that's not why we're there. That's just a front for what God really needs us to do there. That's just what I think. And so Hope on the Square is going to be something that will hopefully have some folks who will walk in as branches who feel like they're being drugged through the dirt, but then it's going to be our job to pick them up out of the dirt, clean them off a little bit, and say, "We serve a God that doesn't cut off. We serve a God that picks up." We serve a God who just loves. So he talks about in verse number 2 about this pruning business. He says, while every branch that does bear fruit. Now listen to this. Now, so when you get to this, you think, well, hold on. I've been a pretty good branch, I think. I think I've bore fruit. I think I've done a good job. And wait a minute. He's talking about pruning me too? While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more. And I underlined those two words in my Bible this morning. I've had this Bible forever. I've known this verse forever, but it just occurred to me. So that it will be even more fruitful. So that it can accomplish even more. Look, small cuts are not so bad. Some of you will go to a barbershop and say, or to a salon and say, give me a haircut, but I don't want it to look like I've got a haircut. I don't even know what that means, but you want it to be. Small cuts are not a big deal. You don't even notice them, right? But in 2020, and then over the course of your life, it ain't just been 2020. Bad things happened before 2020. You may have gone through some significant pruning in your life. You're like, wait a minute, God, where's this coming from? I thought I was doing my part. I was doing what, again, going back to the works thing. I was showing up for church. I wasn't kicking my dog. I was nice to my kids most of the time. I was putting money in a plate. I was taking communion like I should. We weren't doing the things we weren't supposed to. We were doing, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden you have a Job season. You have a Job season, and if you live long enough, we will. Maybe to that not that magnitude, but you have some pretty significant pruning going on in your life, and it comes from nowhere, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, how can anything positive come out of this? See, Job's friends came to him when he was going through a significant pruning season of losing everything he had, everything and everyone. And his friend said, you must have done something bad. You've got to have some significant sin in your life, or God would not have allowed this calamity to come upon you. What we have to understand is that pruning isn't always for discipline. Pruning can end up being a blessing. And pruning may have to take place because the pruner has a picture in his head, Mr. Miyagi, the picture in his head of the bonsai tree. The pruner of you and me, God, has a picture in his head of knowing how great we could be, what we could be about. And even though things may seem really, really good, he said they can be even better. But I'll have to prune you just a little bit, a little cutting back. Not necessarily cutting off, but cutting back. And you don't understand it right now. You're going to kick and scream and cuss and be mad and point your finger at me, but you'll see. That on down the road that you thought things were good at that time, and you'll look back when things are so much better and say, I get it now. I understand why he had to cut back. Botanists say, and I don't understand it, some of you do, that sometimes as much as 70 to 90% of growth has to be cut off in order for something super good to take place. I was listening to a preacher talk about this, and he said that they had this company come and plant some trees in their yard, some big trees. And while they were there, one of the guys that was doing some work took it upon himself to kind of tidy up their rose bushes and to prune them back, because, you know, the preacher said, well, we pruned them, but we did in the wintertime when there was no flowers. It was just like it was easy to do. But so he said, when the guy started getting into the rose bushes, he said he pretty much cut every bloom off. And he said, I'm supposed to be using Jesus' words here to this guy, but I'm having a really hard time doing it. He said, we've got some pretty rose bushes here, and it was getting toward the end of the season. He said, you cut all of these off. He said, just wait. He said, I promise you, you will see why I've done this, and you will see an even more beautiful rose bush than you have ever seen before. We need to remember that pruning can oftentimes be painful, but it's not punishment. From time to time, we all need it. We just do. We need to cut off the branches that are dead. We need to cut off the branches that are diseased. What does that mean? Sometimes it's a toxic relationship. It's something that you valued, and maybe you still do, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, valuing a person or really enjoying that person, but sometimes we got to step back and say, you know, this person just ain't good for me. They're just not. And I love them, and I'm going to continue to love them, but I've got to cut my relationship with them, because if I don't, I'm going to die. It may be an addiction situation. It may be a relationship situation. It could be a health situation. It could be lots of stuff. And sometimes you got to make the hard choices to cut them off and say, I am sorry. You're not going to understand. You're going to be mad at me. You may never forgive me, but for my sanity and for my family, I have got to do this. And so there's all sorts of things from time to time that we're just simply going to have to cut off. We may have some friends who are sincere and genuine who come to us and say, listen, I need to sit down and talk with you about this. And I got to tell you, from what I'm seeing, the way you're acting, the things you're doing, they are not good. And I love you, and I want you to stop doing those things. And then one of the first things that we want to do is become defensive. Wait a minute. You come in here pruning me. Well, let me get my shears out. I know some things about you too. But then you get on down the road, sometimes you're like, they made me mad, and I was upset at what they were telling me. But now looking back, I know they were right. Looking back, I knew they were saying it out of love. Looking back, I knew that they were telling me that out of care and concern. And I didn't see it at the time because I was mad. You know why? Because oftentimes the truth will make us mad. And that's why we surround ourselves with people who will tell us things that we just simply want to hear. That's why we surround ourselves with people who will continue to do the stuff that we want to do, knowing good and well that it's just simply not good for us. Pruning can feel pointless right now, but it can have purpose and be productive much later. You got to keep the picture in your mind, because the Lord says in verse number 2 that He does that so that you will be even more fruitful than you have ever been in your life. And so that leaves us with our final thought. When you're saying why and how, Paul would go on to say that we know that all things, not all good things, we tend to want to sometimes kind of plug in our own little thoughts or words there. If it just said all good things, it would completely change the dynamic and the concept of this verse. No, he says all things. That means good and bad. That means seasons where we are being pruned when we don't understand. He says we've just got to know that God works, not you working, not you having to get it done. The pruning is done by God when it's needed. God works for the good of those, for the good. Now, it doesn't say all good things, but then it says, but God works for good, for those who love Him. Now, there's a condition there, and I'm satisfied that you all, and you all watching, meet that condition, that you love God, who have been called according to not your purpose, but called according to His. Some of you may be in a season of pruning right now. A season of disappointment. A season of this is not how it was supposed to be. A season of not this, this wasn't the plan. Hang in there. Continue to be intertwined with the other branches, because that's where you gain strength. Do we got to come to church to go to heaven? No. Do we need to come to church so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can grow with our relationship, so that we can grow? I think so. I think it's a blessing to be able to come together and to be together and to intertwine with one another, because every now and then I'm gonna be drugging here in the dirt, and I'm going to need you to hold me up. Every now and here you're going to come in here being drugged in the dirt, and you need us to hold you up. That's God's purpose and God's plan and God's desire. We work together in grief groups. We spend time together in grief groups. We work together at Hope on the Square. We're going to do that. A lot of memories have yet to be made in that little low corner of the square, and it's going to be an amazing thing. And who knows where we're going to continue to go. The end of this building, maybe that building over there, maybe that building over there, maybe that building over there. I don't know. But God knows. And whatever He has in store for us, then we'll just say, yes, Lord, as best as we can. Even when some others say, I'm not sure about that, sometimes you got to say, well, I am. I'm sure of my God. And whatever pruning is going on, I know it's for my good, and it'll be for His good. God, we love You. And nobody enjoys going through a season of pruning. Nobody enjoys pain, suffering, disappointment, struggle. But Heavenly Father, if we can continue looking heavenward, looking toward You and believing Romans 8:28, knowing that somehow good is going to come from that, that we are going to grow, that You're going to help us to be who it is that You need us to be. Thank You for all the opportunities that You have laid before us, that You continue to lay before us as a church. We're so excited about the future of this body of believers. Thank You for all the relationships that have already been formed and that are continuing to be formed, so that when those times of pruning come, that we can lean on each other, knowing that we can receive not only grace from those around us, but grace, forgiveness, and help from You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.